Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Welcome to Fat Mascara.
Hi, who are you?
I'm Jessica.
I'm Jen.
God, we've got a lot of great stuff to talk about today. I'm still on a high from our Davina's Earth Day after party. But
it's the after party.
The recap.
Okay. We should talk about that.
So we're going to talk about that. We are also going to talk about P50, probably the most buzzed about skincare product in recent memory.
From Biologique.
We're going to say the name once because it's French, and I'm just not going to do that to our French listeners. And then last but not least, what to do if you've been over exfoliating or your skin is
compromised.
Got it. All right. So we've got some great tips.
Our guest, the one, the only, the fabulous Garen. I mean, no last name, not even necessary. Hairdresser extraordinaire. If I sat here and told you every single celebrity he's done the hair of, we would be here until Labor Day or Memorial Day, whichever one's later.
No, probably Labor Day. Yeah, late Labor Day.
Yeah, end of summer. So Garen is here and he has some stories for us.
What a rager, Jen.
Please set the scene for our listeners.
It's a gorgeous April evening.
In Midtown Manhattan.
Flatiron to be more specific.
You're up on a penthouse overlooking the skyline.
And there's greenage.
Greenage everywhere.
Greenery.
Greenery. And fabulous smart women.
Oh, my God. The most fabulous and delicious snacks and wine.
Slow snacks.
Are you in heaven?
You are. You're at the Fat Mascara listener party.
Yes. Okay. That was such a fun time. Listen, if you listen to the podcast previously, you'll know that we were gearing up for this party. We could only invite about 50 folks. It's just about the capacity, selected at random, but we got a great bunch. So I think I can safely say that our listeners are the coolest women in the world.
You're in good company, listeners. All of you out there are great.
Yeah.
What were some of your highlights for you?
So, okay, besides the fabulous food and wine and plant your own basil, thank you, Davina's. All of the great skincare they provided and the dry styling. Whew. I met a lot of people and we talked beauty, unsurprisingly. I couldn't believe some of the great tips I learned. I learned that Kat Von D eyebrow pencil is basically the one to have. It doesn't budge. This girl had the most amazing eyebrows.
Okay.
I learned that okay, well, this is something we need to talk about. But one girl puts eye primer. We're going to talk about like summer beauty at a future issue, at a future episode. But one girl I spoke to, she uses eye primer, like an Urban Decay or any brand, the eyeshadow primer, underneath her eyes before her concealer.
Oh.
Isn't that sick?
To prevent her concealer from moving.
So smart. I also was turned on to a fragrance I've never heard of, which like I took a photo, but it's called Curio Noir.
Is that the brand name?
It's the brand name.
Cool.
It's very expensive. So we've got to save up. But this girl smelled phenomenal. There was just like tips coming out the, you know, Yahoo.
Tip Wazoo,
yeah.
That's so funny that you went around getting beauty tips. And I feel like I went around asking people to tell me about the non-beauty part of their life when they probably wanted to talk beauty. And I was just like,
oh, that's funny.
Yeah. So I was busy being like, what do you do? Like, who are you and why do you listen to us? And our listeners are such a like broad range of people. There's like, I called her the narc. She was an internal affairs officer at a bank that I met, a woman that runs a dentist's office. There was a historian who was working on a museum's exhibition about delis.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
And
that's really interesting.
Just all sorts of different jobs.
See, I never ask people what they do because I always feel like it's rude.
I know. But here's the thing. Now that it's weird.
I'm not saying you're rude. I'm just saying.
No, not at all. And I don't usually. But the social interaction when people are there to meet you and know who you are can be a little bit weird. So I would go up to people and be like, hi, I'm Jen. And they'd just look at me like, yeah, I know. And then I'd be like, and your name is? Because everybody's like so excited, but they already know so much about you. And I kind of get now from interviewing celebrities, not that we're freaking celebrities by any means. I'm just saying like it's weird to know so much about someone before you enter a conversation
with
them.
I hear what you're saying.
Like half the – well, actually, you know what I did talk about with a lot of people?
What?
Whether or not I could do my own makeup at my wedding because everybody had – an opinion on that.
What was like, if I know everyone had an opinion, but was the general like, are we leaning yes or no?
The general was that I am the type of person who will be relaxed by it and I have the knowledge. It won't stress me out, so go for it. But I saw a lot of girls' wedding pictures, so they would show me like, oh, I did my own or someone else did it and show me the picture. So I was getting a little inspiration there too.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
But it was so much fun.
I had a great time and we definitely want to be doing more of these.
Yeah.
This kind of like interactive community building thing is just. It fills my heart, and I know that everyone had a great time, and, you know.
Oh, one more tidbit to share.
Yeah,
which I thought was crazy. One of our listeners, she used to do a bunch of subscription boxes for beauty. She still tries a lot of beauty products. Did I tell you about this?
Yes, but tell everyone.
She has a Google worksheet or an Excel worksheet where she lists every beauty product she's using at the moment and then has, like, a rating scale of how she likes it. And I was just like, this is too much work. And
she
said it's not work for her. It soothes her. It's like a someone might have a hobby for crafting or yarn where they collect little things. The beauty stuff is her collection. Isn't that cool?
That's really cool. Do any of you guys do that? I know that there was like a skincare Reddit thing once where people would upload their like Excel sheets of their skincare things. But every beauty product, that's impressive.
Yeah. I remember her name and I'm going to find her and see if maybe she'll share it with us on the blog.
That would be
so
really
fun,
cool.
Wouldn't it?
That would be really good.
Oh, my God. If you're out there, email us at info@fatmascara.com and remind me who you are.
You guys are great.
I remember your hair. I remember your glasses. I remember you have plants in your living room.
You have plants in your living room.
I know. We bonded. Thanks for coming, those of you who came. And we'll do another one soon. We already have some things in the works and we'll let you know all about it. The product that is just, it will not die. It's mythical. It's confusing, yet omnipresent. It's Biologique Recherche or Recherche.
We're going to say it once and we're going to move on. We're just going to call it Biologique. Recherche.
We really should know this. P50 lotion. And we've had dermatologists on talking about it before and the difference between the different types of it. But you guys still have questions, don't you?
Yeah. In the Fat Mascara Facebook fan group, guys, if you're not in it, this is like... It's Fat Mascara 24/7, lots of hot topics, and you guys are amazing at offering service and tips for each other. Go to our link tree on our Instagram page. Just click on the link tree, and it will have all kinds of options for you, like get discounts, visit our Facebook thing. There's a direct link to join our Facebook group. Click on it, and you can join the conversation. Now, back to the topic at hand. this P50 conversation is like on fire in the Facebook group. And I thought maybe let's just take a step back and talk about what it is, because everyone seems to have different opinions and like reviews on it.
Yeah, I don't want opinions here. I want facts. What okay. is P50 lotion?
So P50 lotion, it's one of BR's, I'm just going to call it BR right now, one of BR's most popular products. And it's the cornerstone of every single BR treatment and regimen. You don't need to have the whole thing, but I just want to let you know how it fits into the thing. Mm-hmm. Now, the original formula, which is lotion P50 1970, that was founded before even the brand launch. That's just a little bit of trivia. Now, what are the benefits? Because
tell
I think
us,
like
Jeff.
Everyone wants this, like they want it, but they don't even know why they want it.
They don't even know what it is. And when we say lotion, by the way, this is a lotion in the French sense of the word, like an essence. It's liquidy. It looks like what you would call a toner back in the day, right?
Totally. That's a great point. So this does, to your point, it does so much more than toning. It balances and exfoliates the skin. And it also like hydrates, it tones, it controls sebum, it balances skin. And then it says, they claim that it also improves skin conditions like whiteheads and blackheads. Mm-hmm. And it can even prevent ingrown hair. So mm-hmm. you might want to use it post-shave if you're a man, or maybe you can even use it down there, I don't know, or in your armpits.
And you're talking about the 1970 version? Or all the versions? I think that's all the versions, correct?
They just, I am talking about all of the versions.
Yeah, they just, each of them has a different mix of acids, because I would say the big difference between this and other lotions in essence is the exfoliating properties, right?
Yeah, it's supposed to give you, Melanie Simon, who's a fancy facialist out in LA, she's a P50 like devotee.
Who isn't?
She says that this is great for exfoliating and getting that glow.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember I interviewed her about this once, and this is like her favorite.
But you
product.
Sort of have to like buffer into using it correctly, right?
Yes. Well, I just want to quickly add that I thought there were two formulas of P50. So there are five formulas.
Yeah. And a new one just launched like this spring even.
Oh, I kind of remember that.
Mm-hmm.
So the lotion P50 line, it has like a combo of like different acids, lactic acid, cider vinegar, salicylic acids, but there are varying active ingredients in each formula.
Mm-hmm.
So what we can do is we can put this in the blog,
the information
of which one does what. But it's definitely like there is one for you. Even if you say that you're really sensitive, there is one for you. And that's really just a little bit of a sneak preview. That's the lotion P50W. That's the gentlest formula. So to your point, how do you use it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, they say that you should, you know, you got to cleanse your face and your décolleté. That's also important. And for the first week, you want to apply a few drops onto a damp cotton pad. And then you definitely pat it, not sweep it, but pat it all over the face, neck, and décolleté.
After cleansing.
Yes. Now, Melanie Simon, she taught me something hilarious. She said she likes to put it on gauze.
Oh, Lord.
Okay. I know you got to go to the Duane Reade, the CVS, and get the gauze. But she said this stuff is not cheap. The cotton pad, she believes, will absorb too much. Now, when I had a little procedure done, I had so much gauze left over.
A procedure.
Okay, I had so much gauze left over.
Okay.
I used it for the
P50. I'm just kidding. I don't even know what this procedure is. Okay. Did you do it?
Yes. And I pressed it. I mean, they're both Melanie and BR are saying this, but you don't sweep it. You press it. But she presses and she rolls. And she even puts more attention onto things like frown lines. That's my trouble mm-hmm. area. Crow's feet and like any place where you feel and under the chin, like a contour.
I think also pressing uses a little bit less of the product. And the first time I tried P50, I treated it like it was 1006. Remember 1006 or Seabreeze?
Yeah, they were kind of the same type of product.
I soaked a cotton pad and I swiped it all over and my face puffed out like red right away.
Yeah, you may get a little red. The brand says that you should do it like once, just, you know, like just start like maybe once or so a week.
Yes.
And then as your tolerance builds, you can graduate to twice a day. They say you have to. It's like a workout. You have to be consistent to see results.
Well, or like with a retin-A buffering into using retinoids because, you know, every other day, then, mm-hmm. you know, every third day, every other day, then every day.
You're going to see results when you start using it for like a few different, you know, like after a few times. So don't do it once and be like, I don't get it. You have to do it for a little while. But I mean, this is a product it's a very sophisticated product. I really think you do kind of have to know all this before you go
and
into
I also
it.
Need to tell you, you don't need other peels or exfoliators or scrubs when you're using this.
Thank you. That's really smart. I asked somebody recently, can I keep using my P50? And I was talking about some kind of like kind of aggressive product, and they almost jumped up like, God, no. You know, P50 is strong.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the deal with P50. Have you ever used it consistently for a little while?
No, because everybody I've talked to says you should go get the facial first and have them explain it to you within the facial steps. And of course, that's so not my way. I just like grabbed a bottle and I was like, I know what I'll do. I'll just put this all over. And I was using the 1970 version, which has, I forget the name of the acid. It starts with an A, which is a little bit controversial. Remember,
was it like phenol or something?
Yeah, we had a dermatologist on who was like, it's really fine in the doses that you're using it, and it is the strongest version of it, and I probably shouldn't have. So,
well, let us know if you like P50. It's definitely like a product that I don't recall this much conversation about one skincare product
or this
in
many
years.
Knockoffs. Like every skincare brand now is coming out with an exfoliating lotion that is actually a liquid.
People love the Pixie Glow Tonic.
Pixie Glow Tonic is the dupe. Vintner's Daughter just came out with their essence, which is supposed to be both moisturizing and exfoliating, like that, and Glam Glow. You know Glam Glow?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They have a liquid exfoliator that is, I would argue, a little bit similar in that way.
Okay.
I've not tried those yet, but let us know if you have.
Awesome.
Speaking of over exfoliation, so look what we're doing for you. We teach you how to exfoliate, and then in the very next segment, we'll solve your over exfoliation problems. This, too, is a topic that comes up all the time because a lot of you guys are experimenting at home with your own exfoliating regimen. Might be it's a peel, a manual exfoliant, a mask, and then you're doing a little too much.
Yeah, don't you feel that in the past couple of years, there's been such an emphasis on at-home peels and the stronger, the better, and this one's really going to give you the glow? Like, it's gotten a little crazy. And I have to say, left to our own devices, like, I'll raise my hand. I get excited about these things, and then I'm like, I really want to treat myself. And then my skin, I don't actually know if it looks better. All I know is, like, I feel sensitive.
Yeah. I just picture myself like wiping it on and like all of a sudden I'm just a skull with no skin left because I've just like exfoliated away everything.
That's a funny like image. It's like a good cartoon.
Yes. We all want the baby skin, the freshest skin cells that are under there. But at a certain point, you're just inducing low-grade inflammation. That's not helping anything.
If the skin barrier is compromised, you're in trouble. You're not going to get that glow and bounce.
I feel like there's a Johnny Cochran saying in here. We need like if the glove fits, you must acquit.
Oh my god! Oh yeah. If it burns, you yearn. If it stings,
you
stop doing them things.
Oh, that's good. We probably should have worked on that before the segment. She's still going.
Yeah, now I'm like really excited about this. I'm going to be in the subway like,
if it's fire, you must acquire. That means get more. I don't know. Okay, we're done.
All right.
What were we talking about?
Okay, so how
we're going to fix the problem.
How do we fix it?
So you've over exfoliated. I need this information, by the way, because I just had Mama's first Fraxel treatment.
Oh, okay.
You know, I'm getting ready for my wedding. That's not exactly, well, it is exfoliation in a way because my, you know, you're frying the top layer of skin more or less with heat. So it's kind of sandpapery right now. So I got some tips for compromised barrier and how to heal, but why don't you share what you have first? You're still working on Johnny Cook.
If it hurts,
go to a yurt.
I will come up with something good and you will all suffer through it.
Okay.
So I talked to the fabulous Sarah Chapman. You may know her for some of her high profile clients, our British facialist here. So she told me this is exactly what you do if you've
I'm saying them. It's Meghan Markle and Victoria Beckham.
I know, but I don't want to shout it out so quickly.
Oh, I do.
Okay. So she's worked with Meghan Markle. Maybe you guys have heard of her. She's a duchess. And then Victoria Beckham, who talks about Sarah quite a bit on her Instagram. Okay, so you have to first, I would never think to do this, drink masses of water and take anti-inflammatory omega oils, high dosage, 4 to 6 grams a day. So you're really working from the inside first. Then you want to continue them in order to help like strengthen.
Same as if you got a sunburn, huh?
Yes, exactly. I didn't even think about that. Yes. Then you want to add like a comforting cream. So she has a great cream actually called Comfort Cream, which has all kinds of soothing ingredients that you would find like in an after shave lotion. So she's treating the face like as if you were a man who shaved the face.
Okay.
You know, cooling, comforting. And then she says, chill out for a month.
Chill out for a month. All other exfoliating stuff?
Yep.
So no more P50.
No. Oh, babe, put that on the
so
highest shelf you have.
So you've now overdone it on your top layer and you need to wait 30 days for a new layer to grow back
28
up.
28 days, baby.
That's funny because I think a lot of people be like, oh, it's a week later. I must be perfectly back to normal. Even if you look back to normal, your skin barrier is still compromised. You got to get the rest of that growing cycle,
and
huh?
And think of the money that you're saving by not using all of your exfoliating products. Okay?
But this is only if you've over-exfoliated.
If you've over-exfoliated.
Okay,
one more thing.
I'm ready.
Okay. You want to have one of those. I know you're going to like this, Jen. A soothing moisturizer mist. Keep it at your desk in your handbag. Do that throughout the day for not only your comfort, but to hydrate the skin and avoid sun exposure. Because guess what? Now that you've like burnt off the top layer of your skin, even if you can't see it, that sun is going to hit your face. Cue aging, cue pigmentation issues.
My only thing on that is I've heard from other people the moisturizing face mists, because they have water in them, they actually can then dehydrate the skin. So if you mist, I think you then have to put your moisturizer right on top.
That's
what I mean?
I get what you're saying. Like, But then why would they sell them if, like, you need to use it in tandem?
Oh, Jess, because the beauty industry sells us everything we need, and it's all exactly.
But why would they do that?
Because it does feel refreshing, right? But it's the same way. If you feel your skin cooling, that's evaporation. It's like putting moisture back into the air, you know?
Well, I know that this is just one, but like the Tatcha one, like the dewy skin now, it
some
has
of them
kind
have
of an
glycerin.
Oil.
Some of them have moisturizers. Just look at the ingredient list is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If it's straight up like water and like
rose water
or some like essential oils in there, you might then also want to put a moisturizer on top.
Okay.
Might I recommend something with ceramides? Dr. Ann Chappas of Union Square Dermatology,
yes.
I think. I was just meeting with her, and she took a look at my Fraxel face. Actually, I got it at Union Square from Dr. Idris, our former guest. She likes epidermal growth factors, which help repair the skin. Obviously, you're growing lots of new collagen, and that helps, like, double up on the collagen. Mm-hmm. So I've been doing my Skin Medica TNS serum.
Okay.
And then she likes a cream with ceramides on top of that because they are super-duper moisturizing. They can be kind of heavy, though, for some people. But at this part, when your skin's all fired up like that.
So one that I would recommend if we're going ceramides.
Tell me.
I mean, you probably already know. Arden's great too, Elizabeth Arden, the ceramide capsules, but also the freaking CeraVe that every dermatologist is obsessed with.
Yes.
It's not going to cost you a lot of money.
Or you can get your ceramides and your growth factors. Skin Medica makes a lotion with both of them in one. How about that?
Yeah, but it's probably kind of expensive.
It is. Skin Medica is expensive.
But so, you know, it depends. Whatever your budget, whatever you're into. But you really, you know, let's just take a beat on the all over exfoliating thing.
Take a beat and your skin will retreat.
I'm usually I like that.
We got to work on this.
Okay.
We'll put all this on the blog, by the way, all those products we just mentioned.
If you have any cool catchphrases that are really good, we will Instagram you.
You will Instagram us.
Yeah. Cool.
Bye.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Okay, guys, we got Garen here today. Garen does not just do hair. I'm just going to say it. He shapes careers. Okay. I don't mean to embarrass him. He's looking at me like, all right, what else? He's known for creating styles for the likes of Madonna, Linda Evangelista, Audrey Hepburn, Scarlett Johansson, Nicole Kidman. I mean, we're going to get to more. This man has done over 1,000 magazine covers, plus ad campaigns for the likes of Versace, Tom Ford, tons of music videos. And oh, did I mention that he is also the co-founder of R&Co? Welcome, Garen.
Welcome.
Oh, hi, girls.
Hi. And all of our girls and guys listening.
He's sitting there with his arms folded. Hi, girls. It's like,
and some guys, if you're actually listening.
Oh, we have a lot of male listeners.
Oh, good. They must know my husband. Tom Priano.
We know your husband, Tom Priano. I hope he's listening. So, okay, we have not enough time in this episode to really even tackle this question, but there's some people I have to ask it. How did you get your start?
Well, you're not going to believe this. I started at 13.
What do you mean?
I always was into fashion because my mother at the time in the 60s, was always looking at Vogue and Harper's Bazaar. And I was in love with Harper's Bazaar and Vogue. And I was just like, oh, my God, how do they change these people, you know, these women, the models, the actresses. Every month they got a different length. Their hair is either Sassoony or it's Kenneth or it's Alexandre de Paris. And I'd be like so obsessed with it. And my mother was prematurely gray. And she'd come back from the hairdresser and she looked like an old lady. But she was like 35 years old. And I would just say, sit down. And I would sit her down. I'd brush her hair out, and I would tease it up into a big bouffant. And before you know it, she had all her girlfriends from the PTA asking her who did her hair. And she goes, you're not going to believe it. It's my son.
Wow.
And they go, Donald. And she goes, no. And they go, who? And they go, Garen. And she was like, they're like, you're kidding me.
Wait, how old was Donald? Like older?
Yeah, okay. Like 20, like no, 15, no, my 15 13 20 year old. Years old, so older, you know.
Where did you grow up?
Niagara Falls.
Wow.
New York.
This is like
my
really
mother was
not
Canadian
picture,
and my
like
father was American.
Okay.
So anyway, long story short, on Fridays and Saturdays, I'd be going with my little hand dryer. It was like a hood dryer. Mm-hmm. And I'd buy these little booklets in the grocery store that would show you a picture, and it would say Kenneth, and it would show you how to set it, and then it would show Vidal Sassoon and how you would do it. And so I would bring the book, and I would study it, and I would go and cut all these girls' hair for $1.50.
Oh, my gosh.
$1.50 haircut by Garen. This is the okay,
and it was
your
like
entry-level
I would,
rate.
And I would tape their bangs down and, you know, do all these crazy things. And everything came out really great. And, you know, it's just, that's how I started.
So this, you were, I would say, you're self-taught. But then once moved to the city, like.
Well, first of all, like back then, you had to go to the student counselor. Like when you get to 10th grade to
take the vocational test or whatever.
What are you going to be when you grow up, you know? And I was going, I want to be a hairdresser. Mm-hmm. And they were like, it was unacceptable. You know, he just said, this is not acceptable.
Because you were a guy?
Because I was a guy. Mm-hmm. And I said, no, I want to do hair. And he's like, no, I have to call your father in. We're going to have a conversation.
This is,
And I was like, oh, shit. You know, I was like, oh, no, what's going to happen now? They're going to change my course, you know, my whole way of life and my way of thinking. And so they called me back down to the office. I'll make this quick. And my father comes in and he goes, what did he do?
Like you got
he
to
goes,
fight.
He doesn't do anything wrong. What does he do? And he says, well, do you know what your son wants to do when he grows up? And my father goes, yeah. And my father was this big man, and he was, you know, Italian, of course. And he says, yeah, so what do you think he wants to do? And he says, he wants to be a hairdresser. And the counselor says, well, that's not acceptable. You know, he's got to go to school. He's got to go to college. My father goes, he's going to school. He's going to hairdressing school.
I love your father for this.
And my father just stood there, and he goes, you don't seem to understand. He's going to be great. He does well. And the counselor says, I don't accept that. He's going to have to take some courses. He's going to have to go even community college, you know. And I went home and I was like destroyed. I was like, I don't want to go to school. Yeah. I don't want to do this. I want to do what I want to do. My father says, I got you covered. I got your back.
That was just awesome. So
heaven. I mean, yeah. It was like, where do you get that? You know, back then you listened to everything that anyone that had authority would tell you to do.
Times have definitely changed.
Oh, yeah. It's all in our pocket. It's all in the kids' pocket now.
Yeah. I'm glad your dad stood up for you.
definitely. So, okay, then did you work in Niagara Falls as a hairstylist for a little while?
Yeah, or? I did. I had
did you go to Buffalo? What'd you do?
But yeah, I started in Niagara Falls because I was still underage. Mm-hmm. So my brother owned a wig salon, and so I would go in there in the back and do some hair, you know, and some wigs. And then I decided that I would enter some contests, you know, like they used to have beauty hair contests. And I went and did that, and I won first prize. I met Christian.
Oh, wow.
He was one of the judges. And I said, so how do I get out of here? How do I get out of Niagara Falls? He says, well, when you get to New York, here's my phone number. Give me a call. I'll introduce you to some people. So he introduced me to, I went to New York, of course, like I was like flying out of there. I went to New York. He introduced me to these John and Suzanne Chadwick, who worked for the Glenby Company. And they introduced me, Glenby Company, just so everyone would know it, they owned like 1,500 to 1,800 salons around the world. And they were all in department stores and they were in hotels. So they were in Bergdorf's, they were in Henri Bendel at the time, and they were at Bloomingdale's and Macy's and all that. So I went and had a big meeting with the president and vice president of the company, and they says, well, you're going to have to start in Buffalo. We'll put you in a salon in Buffalo, you prove yourself, and then we'll move you to New York.
Oh, wow.
So I said, okay. So I went to this salon, this department store called Jen's, which was like the Bergdorf Goodman in Buffalo at the time. And I started working the salon. My clientele followed me, and I built like I was really booked like every 15 minutes. And at that point, I was charging $75.
That's pretty steep, right? That back then, don't
you
think?
Yeah, it was. It was. I think the first year I did $35, and then I quickly bumped it up to 75.
And around what time is this?
This is in the 70s. This is in the early
70s. $75 in the 70s in Buffalo? I think that's pretty hoity.
That was very ballsy.
That's really ballsy.
But the thing was is that I had so many clients, I had to weed them out. In other words, I had to fill the other part of the salon.
Yeah.
Like then they would start going to the other kids in the salon. So then I met Tom, my husband, and he's like, you know, we can't stay here much longer. We got to get out of here. So like in 1974, he said, let's go back to Glenby and you're going to tell him you want to move to New York. So I went back to Glenby and I said, it's time. I have to move to New York. And they said, well, where are we going to place you? So they sent me to like 5 salons in New York, and they sent me to Kenneth, and they sent me to Bergdorf's, and they sent me to Henri Bendel, and they sent me to Bloomingdale's, and I was just like, oh, I guess I want either Kenneth or I want Bergdorf's. So I ended up at Bergdorf's because my prices were more than what Kenneth was charging.
Oh my God. Who are these Buffalo ladies that were like, could afford
They came from everywhere.
They'd fly in.
They would bring pitchers, like pictures of what they used to look like when they were young.
And you
and they say, could you copy this? And I was like, I think
so
I could do better.
Like a destination hair salon in Buffalo.
Yeah.
This is like untold in Garrett the files. I'm sorry. I did not read about this in Allure. I love you, Linda Wells, but I'd have never.
Linda couldn't fill it all in.
Yeah. That's so good. This is like the archives, deep Garrett archives.
Well, I'm going back. So anyway, I get into Bergdorf's. They're remodeling it. And I'm like looking around, and then all of a sudden they bring in Suga, and this was a great hairdresser from the 70s and 60s, 70s, 80s. And they told me, they said, well, you know, there's just one catch here. So it's going to be a Suga salon. So you're going to have to kind of lead the pack and kind of move somewhere else instead of in the center. They had me in the center, mm-hmm. like I was mm-hmm. featured, you know what I mean? So then I said, well, I'll go near the window.
Top billing.
I'll go near the window. I don't care, as long as I have, you know, I have a station that's not locked in a corner. And they said, because if you do it, everybody else will move, you know, will get out of the way for all mm-hmm. his people. So I did it. So one day, Suga couldn't do a photo shoot. And now I'm still working for Glenby. I am working on their creative team. So I was like one of their designers, mm-hmm. you know. And so then Suga says, well, I can't do this Vogue shoot. Would you do it? And I was
I see where this is going.
So I did Phyllis Posnick, because Glamour, I had been a Glamour hairdresser for like 3 years before that.
So you've been doing some editorial for Glamour?
For Glamour, the makeovers and Mademoiselle. They did all these makeover things. And I started doing their covers. And so I went in, and Phyllis remembered me from Glamour because she was the beauty editor of Glamour. Mm-hmm. So she's like, Garen, we're going to do Christy Brinkley, and we're going to do something very avant-garde. We want you to do crimping. So I brought my crimping iron.
We got this new thing, the crimper.
You know, it was in the 70s. So I crimped her hair and did all these crazy things with it. And it became a hit. but not a hit. I mean, it just was like four beauty pages in Vogue was like a big deal for me, you know. And before you know it, I'm in the offices with meeting Polly Mellon. And Phyllis is like, here's his book. It's all Glamour, but we have this one spread we did with, you know, we did with Garen, mm-hmm. and she was with Christy, and Polly just looked at it, and she just said, my God, I never seen Christy look so different. You know,
wow.
She really looked cool mm-hmm. for a change.
She was the all-American beauty.
Yeah. And I worked with her a lot for Glamour. And that was in the days when the girls did their own makeup at Glamour, and they only brought in hairdressers.
Right.
So now we start at Vogue, and I'm then introduced, I'm called, I do one sitting with Deborah Turbeville and Jade Hobson, and it was a gold story with Jerry Hall, and it was with all the girls, all these big
girls.
This
is like in the late 70s, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was like they were in, it was all an accessory story, so you had Ted Muehling and you had all this gold and everything. And Jerry, believe it or not, she knew how to take over the picture, which you can imagine.
Yeah.
So her hair would be to the left side and all the girls would be on the right, on the opposite side of her. And as the picture was being taken, she'd flip her hair to cover the girls. And I was like, how could she do that? You know, it was like... The girls realized what was going on, so they started moving around her so that they would be
really
in the
funny.
Picture.
It's like a movie scene. I'm picturing this too. Like model cattiness. Yeah.
And it was what it was. It came out really, it was beautiful. And I was just like, I couldn't believe I moved to New York, and within 6 months, I'm doing all this work. And then
Was it that Vogue shoot that really put you on the map, that connection with Polly?
Well, the connection with Polly, because what happened was...
The stylist, Polly.
Yeah, the stylist, Polly Mellon. I mean, mm-hmm. she was my mentor as far as with fashion.
Can I just point out also, this is, you said late 70s, you're doing your Vogue shoot.
fast forward to 2018, you did a Vogue cover like with Priyanka, like what, like 3 months ago?
Yes.
Your career is, what is that? I can't do math right now. 30
It's a lot of years.
And your memory is like, oh yeah, just the other day, me and Jerry Hall. Like, you know, yeah. I mean, I am impressed with the longevity of your career. So it's, I just, there's so many big names that are in it too. So can I ask you about one of them?
Yeah.
I'm fast forwarding a teeny bit.
Go on.
Can we talk about Madonna a little bit?
Madonna. Well, you want to know how this all this, that was amazing. I mean, I have to say, I would be going to the clubs, you know, we all back then, and there's this girl dancing on at the I think it was at the Palladium or whatever, and she's throwing herself all over the ground and she's singing I'm a Virgin, you know, and I'm like, God, she's very interesting, you know, da 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 da. And I, you know, and I had set my career that I had one name and I wanted to keep it that way, but I also had all these movie stars that were in my repertoire in my head, like, you know, like Elizabeth Taylor and all Marilyn Monroe and all this and that. And one day Tom and I were driving to our house in Pennsylvania, and I said, you know what I'm missing? And he goes, what? I go, I need a Marilyn Monroe. And honest to God, 3 weeks later, Steven Meisel says, we're going to do Madonna. And I was like,
I'm going to make her
come again. And he said, we're going to do Madonna. Yeah. And I want to do her like a Marilyn Monroe thing. And I was just like, yes. So we did the cover of Vanity Fair, where she has on the Bob Mackie gown. And I did her hair kind of my version of Marilyn Monroe. And then in the inside, there was all these beautiful pages, you know, where we copied her, with, you know, like very sheer. And before you know it, I was like just always doing Madonna with Steven. And then I became, you know, we did the sex book. And we had so much fun on that because I turned her into Ursula Andrews. I turned her into, I mean, we did so many crazy things, but it was just so cool to change her within, I think we did the whole book in, I would say, a matter of four, like a full month, but not all at the same time because we did it at different places. We did it in New York. We did it at Mineshaft. We did it at a sex club. We did it at the Gaiety. We went to Miami. We did it, you know, in Golden Beach. And we just had so much fun. And then we started, you know, then I started, I was basically did her hair for almost like, I would say, it would have been over 14 years. And then on and off, you know, like she would then do something else. And then it would be like, okay, I need Garen. So we're going to call him back, you know. And so I kept, you know, it's still, I'm still on her radar. You know what I mean? Like,
What is it like when celebrities like work with people a lot? Like, and they work with someone for, I'm not talking about you specifically, I'm talking about just in general, when someone has like their people for a little bit and then they go to other people, like do they say, hey, I'm going to work with this person now? Like what is that like?
Well, I think.
Is it formal? Is it unspoken?
For me, it was always unspoken and it wasn't a problem. It was because I was brought up in fashion. So it was like I was doing a different model all the time. And you have to, you know, she did do other shoots with other photographers who had their teams. And I think that's the grooming that I had was that, you know, you have your team that the photographer has and the editor has. And then you go on and you move on to someone else and then you come back to that person. But like, you know, but during the time of Madonna wasn't like I wasn't going doing her hair every night or every day when she went somewhere. It was like, you know, it was for a project or it was for something
else. I understand.
And also I always kept I was brought up that I would keep my respectful distance where nowadays people get right in. I have to say in bed with them, meaning they are demanded by the artist, and the artist really sucks the blood out of them.
We've seen that with, you know, Jen and I, obviously, we talk to makeup artists and hairstylists all the time, but we notice some of them are very close to talent, especially if it's like a celebrity. And it does seem, I feel like I'm speaking for you, Jen, I don't mean to, but like I'm kind of amazed by
the line that is eroded with some of them, and it's worrying. But some of them I do see, like yourself.
I always think, like, how do they pay them then? Like, are you paying me for this hair this time? Or are you not paying me? Because is this a payday or just a friend day?
Or just
you
the know? Emotional labor of, like, being at their yeah. beck and call and, like, being with their kids, being on the plane 24/7, the Instagram, like, I'm goofing around with them on the, like, it doesn't feel really
see,
professional.
I never did that. That yeah. is how I drew the line.
Kept it professional.
I kept it really professional, and Madonna respected that, and she respected my point of view, because you were seeing it through the lens of Stephen Meisel or Stephen Klein, or do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
it's like, so.
You
like
have what, the expertise, all of
it's
you.
Like the thing that I have, and I'm very lucky, is like when, and I'm talking about big celebrities mm-hmm. back in the day, mm-hmm. when they would come to a shoot and they were put in my hands, they already respected my work.
Yeah,
or
you
my
get,
work
you're getting
ethic,
the Garen right now. Yeah.
Work ethic.
Yeah.
And today, when you get new talent, and I'm not downing them. I just think they don't have, I think their handlers and all that do more harm to them than letting them experiment with new people.
Right. Like they're in a bubble. Yeah.
And it's like they're locked in this box and they always look the same. Mm-hmm. And they end up, the artist, meaning the hairdresser or the makeup artist, end up being attached to them. And there is no other challenge that they have. They just have the same routine that yes. they're doing day in and day out.
Hi, pony.
I couldn't
put the
do
extensions
that.
In the ends.
I
yeah.
mean, I just couldn't go there. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, because I, my whole career has been a hairdresser in a salon, a hairdresser on a fashion shoot, hairdresser on a commercial, a hairdresser for product for yeah. a designer, and it's like I know all of the aspects of creating a beautiful photograph and making someone look the best they can mm-hmm. and not try to make them like, oh, I want them to be photographed, you know,
yeah.
you know what I mean? Because I didn't grow up in that. I grew up in the era of Studio 54 where everybody was with everybody and you had royalty next to you, you had celebrity next to you. You didn't have to go through this team of bodyguards and this team of publicists and all
yeah.
that, you know, and that's what I love about, you know, doing new people. But then when you hit this snag somewhere where you get a new actress that is somehow in her head thinks that, you know, you have to do what they like,
mm-hmm.
I'm turned off. I mean, it's not that I want to do what I want to do, but I want to have a conversation.
I hear you.
I remember there was one artist that her husband wanted me to make her over, and she's a great singer. And so she made an appointment to come to the salon because Stephen Meisel was shooting her.
Mm-hmm.
And my salon was at Henri Bendel at the time, and I could see the Trump Tower. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So now she's late. She's making me wait. And I don't like to be waiting.
Uh-oh.
And
sorry we
so
were late
today.
No, we were on time. He was 10 minutes early.
I was
early.
A little
Uh-oh.
Okay. So anyway, the story goes that she finally gets in the car and drives. She could have walked kitty corner. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
totally.
But she gets in her limo
no.
with her posse, and I see this all playing out because
no.
I have a window.
Oh, you're like, are you kidding
Wait,
me?
No, I'm now
no,
laughing.
No, she did not.
Oh, she did. And so
no, she did not.
Yes, she did. And so she gets to the salon, and they escort her to my station.
This is so embarrassing.
And all her crew is around her, and they're all talking. And I just looked at I got in front of her,
yeah,
and the station, and I looked at her, and I said, "You do speak, because I know you can sing."
Yeah.
I said, "So can we have a conversation? What
oh,
you want?"
My God. Yes.
And I said, "You know something? I want you, all of you, to get out." I says, "I will not carry, yeah. I will not take this any further unless you all leave and I have my conversation with her."
Yeah.
And she goes, "That would be great." And then she just, you know, at that point, it was like, "Well, I liked it." And then I says, "All right, we're making you over, man." So the whole idea of this is that we got to come to some agreement.
Yeah.
So we did. And we ended up, it was a great moment. And it was a great moment for her. And but to this day, I just got called to do her for some Billboard awards. And I just looked at the my agent. I said, "Are you kidding me?"
Yeah.
I said, "There's nothing I could do with her anymore." I said, "Because she's so stuck in this one look."
Oh, I'm dying now.
And I just said, "You know, it's going to be just too much work, and it's not worth it for me to just." It's like she's like a Barbie doll,
yeah.
You know, and I'm like, I can't. You know,
it's you are kind of known though for these transformations, like, and I think that that's why people come to you, right?
Well,
so
yeah,
we wanted to ask you about that. You don't think?
I hope.
Yeah. You are the transformation guy.
That sounds good.
Well, didn't you do Linda Evangelista? Why did you cut her into that bob?
I cut her into bob. We made her blonde. We made her red.
Yeah.
You know, we did all kinds of, you know, we did the skater board haircut where we clipped up the back of her
mm-hmm.
head. But that was a time that models weren't being dictated by big companies that they had to grow their hair, you know, or they had to have long hair. And, you know, you could, Krista McMenemy,
like, yeah.
You know, you have all these girls and you could shake, you could do anything you wanted to their hair and they still were able to work for companies, you
mm-hmm.
know. But it's very interesting nowadays. It's a flip, you know. It's like you're at their mercy.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's like I'm so lucky that I work with such great photographers that want to transform people. And now we have wigs and stuff like
mm-hmm.
that. We can do I mean, it's like when Nicole Kidman sees me and we're working together. And she's like, who am I going to be today?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's so nice because she goes, like, what's the play? What are we doing?
Yeah.
You know,
like it's a character.
It's like. I have this hair and I want to wear it like this. No, it doesn't. It's kind of not like that. And even working with the, you know, like Kim Kardashian, she's like, so what are you going to do with me? You know, like
she lets
go.
Yeah.
She, you know, and
she's not beholden to anyone. She holds all the cards. I think that's why.
And she does have her team,
yeah.
You know, and if she's got to fight for a team member, she'll fight for her makeup artist instead of her hairdresser.
Mm-hmm.
But it's weird, you know?
Yeah, the business has changed a lot. What about, like, a real woman, though, like, with the transformation thing? Like, we're not celebrities. What if we want to have that kind of moment where we get a transformation and we have a, you know, people see us and they're like, wow, in the way they do when they saw Madonna looking like, looking like Marilyn Monroe. Is it always hair, do you think?
No, it's got to be the whole deal.
Yeah.
That's one of my things is that
I'm intrigued.
I kind of dictate to them, if you're going to change your hair color or we're going to cut it this certain way, you have to own it. And by owning it, it means think about the way you're going to dress. Think about what you're going to do. Think about how your makeup's going to change. And I say, I'm not the know-it-all, but I do know that if you're going to go short and you're going to have to own it, it's not going to be a hat. And, you know, you might wear a different type of trouser or you might wear, you know, like a man's shirt or just a simple,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's kind of pulling from all the historical moments of when women were, you know, you kind of want them to be a little masculine, but also very sexy. And it's kind of like I have all that in my brain because of the time that I've done this and what I've followed in fashion. So it's like I automatically know if it's a center part or a side part because I want her to be a little dominant or a little dominatrix
mm-hmm.
or something a little. And I also have had all these.
She's got to do the whole thing.
Well, it's not doing. It's just pick up on it and own it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Don't just like cut your hair and
then don't
like
become
keep your t-shirt and you're like your
yeah,
dress.
Don't
or
come
your, yeah.
become platinum and still wear a little flowered dress.
Or get your bangs and then like go to office and everybody, do you like my bangs? Do you like my, like own the bangs.
Own it. Own
yeah,
the fringe. Because
yeah. like
fringe
that.
Can change your whole appearance.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not about a little bit of fringe, you know, oh, I'll have a few bangs. No way, man.
You got to go all in with bangs.
You're going there.
It's a commit to the look.
Become this character.
Yes.
And have fun. You're a woman. You could do anything you want. And you don't have to answer to anyone but yourself.
Oh, you should do like ads.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just, or like a voiceover.
No, I
feel like you're very clear in your messaging. And it's just like you understand the world of hair and like and what it can do for the rest of your image and the way you feel.
No one's ever like cried in your chair, though, that you gave them this amazing look. You're like, own it, girl. And they look in the mirror and they like fall apart. Because we've all been there.
No,
right?
I have had one crazy that was in my chair that I cut her hair and I blew it out. And she's telling me she looked like Harpo Marx and Bozo. And I said, all right, Bozo had frizzy hair.
Like the clown?
Like the clown. I said, Bozo had frizzy hair. Your hair is brown and it's silky. And I says, I guess you just, I think her whole MO was that she wanted a good haircut, but she didn't want to pay for it.
I was about to say, she wanted
so I told the desk, I said, comp her. And tell her to forget.
And then she walked out, she was like, I love my hair. Lose our number.
You know what I mean?
That's
so
funny.
I've been around the block a few times. Oh, I know exactly.
Don't mess with Garen.
I just know what's going on.
Can you see a crazy from like, you know, like 10 miles away? Can you kind of sense?
Well, when you do your consultation, because I always consult.
Oh, what's a consultation like?
Well, it's like finding out what they do. What's your lifestyle? Do you have two lives? Do you have your daytime casual, and at night, do you get done up, or are you expected to dress a certain way because of your husband's business or whatever?
Because of your business.
Or her business. but you know what I'm saying? It's like...
You know everybody was thinking it.
But the thing is that you know, people don't stop and think, what's happening after five? Right. You know? And I can say this honestly that Tom, my husband, met this client, and it was through Farrah Fawcett, and Farrah and I were friends for decades. And I took the Farrah out of Farrah. If you want to, I took the Farrah flip out of her and cut her hair into a bob and did her for Vogue and did it very sleek and very straight.
Love that.
And we worked through all these different looks that she had. But my husband met another friend of hers, and he went to her apartment, and she had a Mickey Mouse T-shirt on and a pair of tights. And she says, I want my hair cut. And I, you know, she had this black, long hair. And Tom just went chopping at it and gave her a rock star haircut, like not Rod Stewart, but like, you know, like all shaggy and like really cool. And so then all of a sudden he gets a phone call and he says, well, my husband, I got a problem. I don't know what to do with my hair at night. And I'm like, so Tom explains to me, he goes, I got this person. And then I said, did you ask her who her husband is, you know? And he says, no, I didn't want to go there. I was with Farrah and I was having fun. We were playing and, you know, and I cut her hair off. And so I find out it's like one of the wealthiest families in New York. So this is in the 70s, like late 70s. And every night is formal night and it is big time.
Like they dress for
like
dinner.
Couture. And
now she's got like the Joan Jett shag.
She's got the shag and it's not the time to have
amazing.
The shag. So I go over to the house and I'm talking to her and I said, and so what is, well, tonight I have to go, you know, we're having this big party dinner and I'm wearing Valentino, and I says, show me the dress. She shows me the dress. It's the one I just shot for couture. It's like fur around the neck, low in the back, and it's like a black. It's so gorgeous. You know what I mean? Really, really big time. And I'm like, Tom, you kind of like screwed this up, you know, because she's
go.
Got.
The head doesn't match the body.
It's not matching the dress. So what do you do? And I said, well, let's just blunt the bottom off a little bit, and then we'll blow it really sexy over your eye. And she had all this stuff up here. And so we faked it. You know, we got it. We got her through it. You know what I mean?
I was thinking a little fancy hat, Gary.
No, it wasn't about
or
that.
A wig. Like,
and it was like her husband said, oh, thank God you guys got it together.
God.
You got her together. You know,
this
and it was,
so
we were laughing so hard. But then, you know, then she ended up with a really severe short bob with a big wave over one eye. And so she was owning her look.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And during the day, she still was owning her look, you know?
So you bring up an interesting point, like, which is, you know, like nighttime hair, daytime hair. I read an article with you recently, and it was a little of an older article, but you said something that was really funny. You said, I mean, you always have lots of little funny quips. I don't know if you realize that.
I don't. But I do understand that I do have a wicked tongue sometimes.
But I think you're a truth teller, Garen. That's why I like you. You said, I think younger women feel if they put themselves together too much, they look too old-fashioned. And you said, it's like how you learn to put makeup on. You know, a lot of women learn to put makeup on, that they should learn how to do their hair. Now, as somebody who, I know Jen knows that she's seen it firsthand. She was horrified. I don't know how to do my hair.
Do not put a hot tool in this woman's hand.
No, it's like it's
any kind.
No, I don't.
Even a blow dryer.
Maybe even a blow dryer. I, you know, for me, nighttime hair is basically I brush it or I get someone to professionally do it.
But what about your charity galas, Jess?
I would love to go to a charity.
I know, but I know what you're saying.
I would love my husband to take me out to all these fancy business events. I think
well,
that sounds
it's
fun.
It's not the life anymore.
Yeah.
That's not what's going on anymore.
That's your question, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think that things have changed, or do you think that women just kind of like don't know how to like? Is that a dying art? Like, what happened?
Hairdressing, you know.
I think we got into this. You know, I've been through the grunge stage. You know, we created that. You know, with Mizell, and we. You know,
how many guests have we had that are like, well, when we created the grunge look, and well, he's the, not lying.
But it you was actually like, work with
that's
Mizell.
What I'm saying.
Yeah, but it was with McMenemy and was
no,
with,
no.
It was
did
with
you
all
do
those
the hair
girls.
On the Perry Ellis show? Was that you?
Not the show, but I did the fat.
Oh,
the
Vogue,
shoot, the Vogue shoot.
The famous Vogue shoot.
That's
yes,
what I'm saying. He's where, not lying.
Yeah. You know, so it was like the makeup was raw. Everything was. That's what I'm saying. Like, you can't wear grunge and have your hair blown out.
I'm going to call you the godfather of grunge now.
I was already called the godfather of hair. The last folks big story when I cut off Carly Kloss's hair.
Oh, wow. Oh, yes. That was you.
When I whacked it off.
God.
You know, so.
So you did the minimalism. You did the grunge.
What yeah. Are you, so it's like what I find now is that when there is a big event and they call in people to do their hair and their makeup. One's got to sacrifice. You can't have both. You can't have full makeup and then big hair, you know, big hair. Mm-hmm. And it's like sometimes there's these young models and some young actresses that go out and they're so overly made up and so overly done that you don't even recognize who they are. Mm-hmm. And they're so pretty just being themselves, you know, like what I mean by themselves, like less is more.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so they hire a team or their group hires a team. They go in and they do the look, you know, but they're not really knowing how the hairdressers nowadays don't know how to do a look. They sort of like
because the makeup is usually the look these days.
Well, it's kind of taking over because the hair is, you know, it's with that curling wand with the straight end, you know, they're doing that stupid, undone, done look that looks like.
You don't leave the ends out on the curling iron?
Ooh.
No beachy wave for Garen?
No, I go for a beachy wave.
But you like to finish
but I
the
want
end
a
of the curl.
No, I want a beachy wave.
Okay.
I want it to be able to, the girl can run her hands through it.
Right. Not I don't want, we call
I don't
it pageant
want,
curl.
I don't want it to be like it's so stuck there that you can't mess it up.
Yeah, pageant curls. Pageant waves.
Wait, do that noise again?
Which one?
There were a lot of noises. Like you stepped on a mouse with your bare foot.
Oh.
Yeah. Wait, what else is on your Garen no-no list?
Well, I also learn how to use product. You know, like being with R & Co., we have
Our next question was about R&K.
You know, we have Howard McLaren, who's known for his razor cuts and using lots of product because his background was Bumble and Bumble. And he, you know, he uses product completely different than I do and Tom does. Tom is like a master of undone hair.
P.S.
But
these are
done.
The co-founders of R & Co.
Yeah,
that's
my
know.
Three of us.
It's
you
not
know?
Just like to you, the Mojave Desert.
There's Tom. Myself, yeah. Tom Priano, and Howard McLaren.
Yes. And Tom is your husband.
And Tom is my husband. And Tom worked a lot with Bruce Weber, and he did a lot of lifestyle mm-hmm. work. He did all the Abercrombie and all that kind of stuff, which we wouldn't be allowed to
it's
do.
It's like the Charlie's
nowadays,
Angels of hair.
You know,
three different
nowadays.
Styles.
Yeah. So, you know, Tom is like the men's groomer, and he's done so many so many famous people and so many great models. And he worked a lot with Calvin when Calvin was Calvin Klein, the real Calvin.
Mm-hmm.
And he did all those commercials with Christy and, you know, all that kind of natural hair, but undone.
You have which very now, distinctive styles.
Very, very simplistic, but very sexy and very touchable. And then you have Howard, who is like, you know, he razor cuts the hair and he moves it around, uses a lot of product. It becomes sexy and kind of almost rock. It's kind of a broken rock star, but it's not really, because it's there's a thing about it that is touchable, you know. And then there's me, that I cover the gamut, but I'm more theatrical.
Yeah,
and
that's a great word to describe you, theatrical.
And why I'm saying that is because I really believe in from working with magazines and working on real clients, you have to know how to finish hair and you have to know how to use the right tool or the right thing to accommodate them and make them feel, you know, you're working with anybody, you know, and you have to kind of make it happen. And, you know, if you're working with one of the photographers, I worked with Penn for years and I know that Penn's light was one big light. It was so strong that if I was doing wispy hair or hair that was sticking out and being like extraordinarily grand, I'd have to make it three times the size and each spike would be three times the width because the light would blow it out to make it look like it was a wisp. Then you worked with Avedon, who wanted the girl to be luxurious and very sexy but raw or whatever way you wanted to go. So you had to learn how to do the hair for that lighting. And then you had Steven Meisel, that we did a lot of characters and we did a lot. He trained models to be models, you know, like Avedon did. I mean, Linda learned how to move every muscle in her face because Steven would play, and we had Francois. And, you know, now he works with Pat McGrath, but it would be like...
Just name dropping stars there in the mix.
Pull this muscle. Find that muscle. You know, pull this in.
Yeah.
And it would, like, I would enjoy working and creating this because all I'd have to do is go up to Linda and touch her hair and then just go, boop, pull that in. And done.
Do you think there are photographers now who are treating models the same way and training models the same way?
Absolutely not. Not. There's nobody being trained. Steven Klein can train a model. He wants them to really imitate him basically, but he still loves a beautiful, odd, strange, or, you know, there's something very sexual about it. But working with the new group, first of all, they're intimidated when I'm booked, you know, because I'm Garen. And so I have to break that barrier down. And like I'm used to having a conversation.
Like with younger photographers or models are you talking about?
Younger photographers.
Okay.
Because you have to break that barrier down because I'm so used to having a conversation. Like, what are we going to do today? How do you want her to look? You know, it's not how I want her to look. I want to know, how do you want, you know, are we doing a lot of makeup, no makeup? Are we doing wet hair?
Yeah.
You know, what do you feel? And they really don't have a point of view. They just want you to get them ready and throw them out there, and then they're going to take pictures. I mean.
So they're intimidated by the talent.
Well, maybe, but they have their own crew. You know what I mean? They have their own group that they're comfortable with.
Yeah.
And that's the difference, you know. So, you know, I just, you know, I'm just so vocal or so. My eye sees everything, you know, because I was trained by Polly Mellon and I was trained by these big photographers that I zero in on a collar or I zero in on what's not working, not what is working.
No, I saw you on set and you really do. You clock everything. You're not just looking at the hair. And that's interesting. I think, you know, we do have a lot of hairstylists who listen to a lot of beauty professionals who do work on set or, you know, find themselves working with images. And I think people... even I, you know, I learned this from you just working on set with you. Like, I tend to think, like, I'll stay in my lane. You know, this is, I focus on this. But you are looking at everything and you are not afraid to speak up. I know you're in a different position than I am, but it was really inspiring.
No, because I'm to respect what you're looking for.
Well, that's true. But I just mean, like, you're Garen. Like, you've been doing this for, you know, decades longer than I have. But at the same time, it's you're like we're all you're very democratic and collaborative. Like we're all looking at this image together.
Right.
And I thought that was really cool. But is that someone's role as a hairstylist or makeup artist?
I think you have to walk. You have to tiptoe into that.
Read the room.
Yeah.
You know, you got to read the room and you got to know how to say it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have, you know, I happen to have a big mouth. So it's like, you know, when I work with Matt and Marcus and, you know, they're genius when it comes to retouching, like digitally mm-hmm. the thing before the model walks or the actress walks to the monitor. You know what I mean? And it's like, I'm just like, whoa, you know, you just put Amber's mouth on what's her name and you just did this or that or whatever. And, you know, it's like they respect my point, and I'm like, well, don't you think that I should flatten the hair a little bit on the left? It's a little too big, or either make it all bigger or take it down.
Mm-hmm.
And then you become part of that unit.
Collaboration.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think when you're talking about the shoot that we did,
yeah.
it was yin and yang.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that one was so grand and so ridiculous and so over the top. And my point at that moment was I knew they wanted me to wear something that wasn't me.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, all right, I'm going to give in and do it. And then when I saw it on the monitor, I'm saying, no, it's not.
You could be flexible,
I'm too old. I was honest. I looked at it and I said, it's distracting from the point of view.
Right. Yeah.
And I said, just trust me. Let me go back and put something else. And I said, because I'm not 20 years old. I'm not 30 years old. I'm at a certain level in my life that I have a certain look. And I went along with part of it and we got an amazing picture. But the point is that I was distracting from what the picture was supposed to be mm-hmm. about because I was kind of in a clown outfit.
Can I ask? I'll let you two address that later. Before we let you go out, we started to talk about product and then we sort of stopped. But can we go back to R & Co for a second?
Absolutely.
And just products in general? Like, what is in the Garen kit these days?
All like, my R & Co, everything.
Is it everything? Like, do you wish you've had this line for 20 years? And
it's a whole different beat. It's a different beat for me. When I first did my own line, I wanted to simplify things and make it like I needed 7 products because I didn't want to drag this big kit around.
Mm-hmm.
Then when we did R & Co, it was like, we need something for this because everybody's using natural hair. Well, we have to make them
look like
natural hair, but you don't want it to look too greasy. You don't want it to look too this, too that, too over dried. So we had to come up with different dry shampoos because Howard would like one and Tom would like another one, and I would like another one.
How many dry shampoos are there?
We have like 5.
So many.
Wow.
But it's all for specific things. It all does something different.
Yeah, so these lines that are really trying to simplify it, it's just...
Well, it's just that it becomes like a creative thing. It's like, how many hairsprays do you need?
Which one do you run out of first in your kit of all the R&Co products?
I would say Outer Space hairspray.
It's a hairspray, okay.
And then the second thing I run out of would be Skyline.
What's that?
It's a dry shampoo, but it's a powder. And then the third thing that I would run out of would be... Trophy and the oil tinsel. And then we have this new thing that we just launched last year, and it was called Glittering, which I absolutely love. You shake it and it's gold.
Oh, it's actual glitter.
It's glitter. It's gold. It's gold, comes out of the bottle, gold, and it makes the hair sparkle.
Oh, how much does this shit cost? It's pure gold.
it's not pure gold, but it's
just, gold sparkle. Little 12-year-old really Jess just got very excited.
I'm going crazy. Is this something like, it's not for work, right? It's for more like...
It's like
it's your after five charity gala hair.
If your hair feels dry and flat and kind of like dull, mm-hmm. you just spritz a little of this on and the hair just starts to shine again.
It sounds like it's for work. Okay, cool.
It's clean. it's just, there's so many cool. I fell in love with Waterfall. That's another one. That is adding moisture to the hair.
From any other brand that you use in my kit? It's a big enough line.
It's a big enough line, but I do have one Garen product that I keep.
From
your original line.
Are you still making the original Garen products?
No. No.
Your website's still alive. You got to shut that down.
It's still live. No, we still sell what we have.
Oh, you do?
Oh, okay.
I'm just not reproducing anything new.
Okay, got it. All right. So get it while it lasts, guys. Okay. Can we ask you about some of your products that, like, the other not products that R&Co doesn't make, like skincare, home fragrance, things like that? Because you have very refined taste. I want to know what's happening in your bathroom. Tom and Garen's bath. Yeah. What's happening?
Well, Tom has one shelf.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're the maximalist.
And I have four shelves.
It sounds like my apartment.
What are on them?
He's a vegan.
Okay.
And so everything he has is all natural, which is, he uses four things. Okay.
Is R&Co vegan?
Yes, totally vegan.
Okay.
And
obviously, yeah, if he's Thomas Brown.
Oh, yeah.
The line.
And then you have Garen, you know, and that's four lines. And it's like my night creams and my day creams and my, you know, Analik. You know, I have Dr. Analik. He's mm-hmm. keeping me looking the same for the last, since Fred passed away. Mm-hmm. And that's Dr. Fred Brandt. He was my best friend. And Dr.
Analik. What's your day cream and night cream?
Well, it's a combo platter. Like, you know, I'm a Sisley freak. And I'm also still using some of Dr. Brandt's products. Sicilia.
Is this that Black Rose mask business that you love?
Sicilia is like the white line.
It's the white line that just came out. And I've been using Sicilia for...
Expensive taste, Garen.
Yeah, but I only have one face. You know? I have no hair. I can't do anything with my hair. So I have to splurge somewhere.
You're saving on hair.
And I'll tell you a little cute story. Tom was shopping with me and I bought some Sicilia. And he looked at the bill and he goes, "That's not right." And I'm like, "Yeah." So he goes, "Well, I want a bracelet every time you buy Sicilia." I go, "What are you talking about?" It goes, "I want a Chrome Hearts bracelet or I want an Hermes bracelet." So every time he's now stacked, his whole arm is stacked.
One for him, one for me. One for you, one for me.
And I was like, you know, it makes sense. Okay, if I'm spending $2,000 on products, he can get a $2,000 bracelet. You know, but those days are gone where he's getting the bracelets because he can't hold his arms up anymore. But
your face still looks good, Garen.
Well, that's because Dr. Robert Analik and Sicilia and Dr. Brandt's products have been holding it together.
Well, you look
and
good.
I have a routine and, you know, I try.
It's working. Yep. Garen, you're great.
This is great. Thank you so much.
We had fun.
Thank you so much. Lots to learn from you.
And remember, get on the R&Co website so you can see all the stuff we have. That's brilliant.
Yay. Well done, sir.
It's time to raise a wand. But first, do you know what today is? If it's Tuesday and you're listening on Tuesday, it is Hairstylist Appreciation Day?
That's the deal. I mean, intern Tiff told me about it. And
like
I felt
3 seconds
so silly
ago.
Because we appreciate hairstylists all year long on Fat Mascara.
Every day is Hairstylist Appreciation Day.
But special shout out to Garen. Thank you so much for being here for the interview. Okay, let's get to Raise a Wand. What is your product?
It's actually from a hairstylist.
Oh, how cool.
See how I planned that?
Yes.
Not at all. Okay, so Larry King.
Yes.
Do you know Larry King, the London hairstylist?
Yes.
I love this man. However, I was like, he has a product line, right? And he's launching in the U.S. And I was like, so how's it going with that name? He's like, what are you talking about? I was like, your name is very famous in America for the late night TV host Larry King. Yeah. He's like, oh, yeah, but people know. And I was like, okay, we'll see. Because, you know, Fat Mascara listeners know Larry King is a dope hairstylist in the U.K. But I'm not sure everybody does.
You know what? I feel like it's one of those like simple names that I think we're going to get through it. You know,
let me tell you about his product line.
Yes.
What
do you like?
The product I like in particular is a volumizing hair mist, which you would never think for someone with thick, wavy hair like me. But he explained it to me as almost like a working spray because he can use it on set, too. Mm. So, you know, those hair waters that were hot for a while that were like with a little bit of castor oil in the water. This is like a hair water, but with volumizers, but never, ever stiff and sticky volumizers. So I spray it in my damp hair and I could do a blowout and it would have volume, or just do an air dry and it has like a nice softness to it that's not crunchy. But even more so, I've been using it as like a re-wetting in between wash day kind of like refresher.
Oh, that's a cool way to use it.
Because usually I use an oil-based product as a refresher, but then your hair just gets heavier and heavier over the course of the, say, 3 days you didn't wash your hair.
Yeah, totally.
So I've been using this instead, and it just sort of revives my hair, but without the powdery of a dry shampoo or the starchy of like a really hard volumizer. And the smell, it's... Each of his products has a different fragrance. This one's fragrance is Cabin Fever. Mm. It's just like cypress and pine in the most green, fresh way that's not at all Pine Sol. It just smells like summer camp. I'm loving it. Yeah, you can get it on Net-a-Porter, and I think he's trying to expand even more with his distribution. So good luck, Larry. Happy Hairstylist Appreciation Day.
Well, I did not plan my razor wand nearly as well. I'm going with an eyeliner. You know, eyeliner is sometimes tricky for me. If you are basically, I mean, I feel like every woman can relate to this who uses eyeliner. It's kind of a time commitment. It's like, am I going to get them even?
Don't go in with fear.
Don't go in with fear.
Eric sees me doing eyeliner and he'll just like walk by the room and just be like, don't go in with fear. Like, oh, he knows. God. That's what I say to myself. I sit there in the mirror saying that to myself.
That's so funny. You just have to go for it.
Yeah.
Well, I sometimes like eyeliners, most of the times, I like eyeliners to have a little wiggle room. Like, you don't have to get them so perfect.
They're like a little smudge is okay.
Exactly. But they have to be the right consistency because they need to be smudgeable. You know what I'm saying?
But then stop smudging at a certain point so it just locks in.
Exactly. See, people think beauty is, like, simple. This is, like...
This is freaking rocket science.
It's pretty close.
Tell us about the viscosity of this liner you're about to raise a wand to.
The Gillian Dempsey Kohl Liner. I think her products are great. It has a built-in smudger, which is also it's really soft, which I should have just said outright. It's very soft, but it deposits a lot of pigment. A lot of the smudgy ones you put it on, it's like, yeah, I know why it's smudgy, because like it ain't shit. You know what I mean? No, it's smudgy and dense, and then you just flip it around and you've got the perfect smudger. It's not too hard. It's like, you know, just bendy enough. And you can smudge it out. Now, to be fair, I put this on at like 8 o'clock in the morning. Do you still see any liner today? Right now?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
So it's still on?
It's like definition around the lash line, but not like a wing and crisp.
Yeah, this is not, oh my God, you would not want to wing this. But I definitely just kind of drew it out a little bit and then smudged it with the brush and then it sets. And the color that I love is this gorgeous chocolate brown. It's the perfect chocolate brown because it doesn't have a lot of sparkle in it. Some of them have a little sparkle.
I've been doing chocolate brown liner too. I think it's more flattering sometimes than black.
It's so much more
especially
flattering.
Especially as I, you know, get on in years. I used to write that tip when I was like a 23-year-old beauty editor. Like, if you're at a certain age, try chocolate brown instead of black. It's more flattering.
And now it's like, here we are with like army of chocolate brown eyeliners. I see. Well, somebody, it's so funny. I did like a TV thing the other day and this woman put black eyeliner on me. And I realized it like after an eye was done. And my heart sank because we didn't have time to go back.
We're in our chocolate brown years, miss.
Chocolate brown years. Look at all you have to look forward to. Tiff, are you excited?
She's just like dying over there.
Yeah. All right.
Raise a wand.
Thanks for listening. Fat Mascara is produced by our friends at Atwell Media. You can check out our website, fatmascara.com, for episode recaps, product recommendations, and discount codes.
And if you want to reach us directly, email us at info@fatmascara.com, or you can follow us on social, @fatmascara, shoot us a DM. And we'd love if you went over to iTunes and threw us a rating. How many stars?
Five.
Five, please.